Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me. What? Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but quote what was wrote, but it ain't the way it be living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't wanna hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints. Blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still trying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power, I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth, with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, vultures the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the comings, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, bro, it's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensey. But the saints study intensely, cause it's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible. I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them.
I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions, but if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Laila Tawab, which means good night or good evening in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your brother, your host, your friend, Tazapa, as always, y'all. Welcome to the show, man. Welcome to the show. We are back. Once again, technical difficulties last week, man. But we're looking to make a move and change all of that, y'all. And I will definitely keep y'all posted on the move that we're going to make. But it's good to be back, man. I hope everybody is healthy. Hope everybody's in good spirits. Hope everybody had a good Shabbat. Good weekend. Hope everybody had a good Feast of the Morrow, the blowing of the trumpets. Last Thursday, that's why I didn't do a show. I was attending the feast with the brothers and sisters here in San Antonio at 4444 Walsing Road, man, at the school. We have a school here. That's where I was, man. It was good to see the brothers and the sisters, man, pull up, man. and celebrate, as the scriptures tell us to, the Most High's high holy days, man. So no more of the blowing of the trumpets. It was a good time, good food, man. Sisters, whoever made that baked sweet potatoes, a salute to you. Whoever put those together, they were delicious. Looking forward to this upcoming High Holy Day. Also, y'all, the Day of Atonement, we cannot forget it, which is going down Friday night at sunset. The Day of Atonement, which is contained in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. We do keep the law that the Most High commanded us to do. And these high holy days are part of the ceremonial laws which the Most High gave us to keep. And we do keep them because the Most High gave five sets of laws. He gave us the dietary law, the moral law, the civil law, ceremonial law, and then the law of animal sacrifice, which is done away with through the blood of Yahawashah, who the world knows is Christ, y'all. So we do keep them. We got the Day of Atonement coming up Friday at sunset and continuing on to sunset Saturday evening. So it's what we call a double Sabbath, because we know that the weekly Sabbath starts Friday at sunset and continues on to Saturday evening at sunset. So we'll be celebrating, honoring the weekly Sabbath as well as the Day of Atonement, which we fast from Friday evening to Saturday evening. We will be fasting until that time. We're going to break the fast at the school here in San Antonio, 4444 Walsham Street. And I believe it's going down at, I think, 7:30, somewhere around in there. So if you're in the area, man, feel free to pull up, man. Feel free to pull up. This is the show, y'all, Blog Talk, sponsored by Blog Talk or aired on Blog Talk. But the title of our segment that we do is called Bible Talk. This is Tazza Pod Tuesdays. I do about an hour of current events and news and Tazza Pod Soapbox before I get into a topic, usually about an hour. Sometime I run over. I'm going to really try hard not to run over this evening, y'all, because I definitely want to get back to Galatians chapter 4. I've been having myself put that in the title, and I know y'all been tuning in and on Tuesdays, and I've been getting carried away with the news and the current events, and I don't even get to the topic. Tonight, I'm going to try very hard not to do that. I do have news. I got one story, y'all, that I'm going to deal with. And then I'm going to move on to Galatians chapter 4, all right, and try to get it in tonight. We are the people of the book, and we prove all things like the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. We are the people of the book through historical proofs, through biblical proofs, definitely the Hebrew Israelites, the people of the book. All right, I want to send shouts out to affiliated schools, the brothers here in San Antonio at Sword of Truth, led by the brother of War. The brothers down in H-Town, Stream of Wisdom, led by the brother Kwatazap. Also sending shouts out to the brother Kazakia up in VA. Shouts out to Zion Nala in Rochester. Shouts out to the Albuquerque crew, the brother Aish. Shouts out to our brothers and sisters in Atlanta, Canada, California, Arizona. Shouts out to Kawakab down in Guatemala. And shouts out to the 12 tribes scattered worldwide, y'all. So let's go ahead and get into it, y'all. So Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, and it reads, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So So this is the prayer we need to be sending up on a daily, y'all, especially now, y'all. If y'all been keeping up with the headlines and the news and what's going on in the Middle East, man, they about to set it off, and we waiting, man. We are anxiously waiting. I went over this last week, man. We are anxiously waiting for what the book of Revelation refers to as the third woe. The word woe meaning destruction. It tells us in the book of Revelation that the first woe and the second woe has passed, and the third is coming. It's on its way, man. That's what we're waiting on. Because we know once World War III happens, we can look for the return of our Messiah, of our King, of our Savior, Yahweh Shah, who the world calls Christ. Look for him to crack the sky open with those chariots and come get us, y'all. All right, y'all, so let's get Psalms chapter 118 and verse 24. And I am joined, Labiyah just pulled up, y'all. So Labiyah's in the building. She's going to be my reader. Let me give her some time to get settled. I'm going to go ahead and get Psalms. So Psalms chapter 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Good or bad, happy or sad. The Most High brought you to it. He'll bring you through it, and you'll come out better on the other side because of it. Please believe me. All right, y'all. So this first was the only one I got. I had some other stuff, but I had to dial it on back. Let me see. Here we go. All right, this one here. I don't know if y'all been hearing about this, man, but brothers and sisters in Cali are in uproar right now, man, because the boot-licking handkerchief head Sambos, a.k.a. also known as the Black Caucus in California, sold them out for them getting reparations, man. Want to hear about it? Here we go. Tell them where you're reading from, Laya.
Website kcra.com.
And this is a local news publication in California. Go ahead. Yep.
A complete betrayal. California Reparations Task Force leader responds to legislative Black Caucus decision to block bills.
So you heard it right. The Black Caucus blocked the bill for black people. I'm going to say this again. The Black Caucus blocked the bill for reparations for black people. Reading on.
Sacramento, California, 3 days after California's legislative Black Caucus blocked the California Assembly from voting on two reparations proposals, the leader of the state's reparations task force is speaking out against the group's action.
Now, y'all, I'm gonna give y'all the date on this because this article is actually old. It's from like last week. Where's the date at? Here we go. This is actually from September the 3rd, 2024. This ain't right, though, because it happened like two. I don't know what this might be right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because we're at the beginning of October, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Reading on.
The leader of the state's reparations task force is speaking out against the group's actions. I think what happened on Saturday was unconscionable, said Kamala Moore, the chair of California's Reparations Task Force, which spent 2 years studying the impacts of slavery and racial discrimination on African Americans in California.
Now, I like this sister, man, from what I read about it. She's pretty sharp. But it says that she put 2 years into studying the impact of slavery. And then you're going to see why I'm saying I think she's pretty smart. Burrito?
KCRA 3 also reached out to California Secretary of Shirley Weber who wrote the state law that created the task force. She declined to do an interview on the situation Tuesday.
So this chick, Shirley Weber, I have not seen her, but I'm assuming that she's black. I ain't going to say she's a sister. I'm just going to say she's black. You know?
The Black Caucus announced on the final night of the legislative session on Saturday that it would not bring the two reparation proposals up for final vote in the assembly, including SB-1403 to establish a reparation state agency and SB-1331 to establish a reparation fund.
So you see how I got to applaud these brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you why I'm applauding them. Because they organized. They organized. So I will definitely applaud them on that, man. I like so-called black organizations that are organized. It says that they would put bills together to create a reparation state agency and to establish the reparation funds, man. So they serious about this, and they put a lot of work into it. And like I said, they're organized. Well, you know.
Tension among members of the caucus flared into late Saturday night, with the caucus divided over the last-minute decision.
So the caucus was divided over the decision. Now, the title of the organization is called the Black Caucus. So I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to assume that all these were black people. I'm just going to assume this because my assumption is more than likely wrong, because you know how we as a people like to try to include every other nationality into something we're doing. This goes all the way back to the Civil Rights Movement. Y'all remember they had white folks walking with us and trying to, they was donating money and all this stuff. And then you remember what Malcolm said even in the movie, when the little white girl came up and asked if she could donate and help the cause, and he was like, no, she asked what she could do. He said nothing. He said nothing because he understood that if we're trying to do something for us, it has to be by us. We can't have no outsiders coming in trying to fight for us. We got to fight for ourselves. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to say that all of their members is black. Now, the reason I'm even bringing this out is to say you would think that there would be no animosity or no arguments amongst a group of black people that are trying to get reparations for our black ancestors being brought over as slaves, and we're still suffering from the condition that they were under that was handed down to us. We're still suffering from that psychologically, mentally, spiritually. We're still suffering from that. So you would think they wouldn't be arguing over this. But this lets you know what they say, the devil's in the detail. This lets you know they had a devil or several devils amongst them, but you know. And the word devil, once again, means deceiver.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Democratic State Senator Stephen Bradford, who wrote the bill, claimed the caucus was scared of Governor Gavin Newsom's veto after Bradford refused to accept changes to SB-1403 proposed by the governor's office.
So the governor wanted him to change sections of the bill. We're going to find out why, Reed.
Caucus leader, Democratic Assembly member Lori Wilson denied this and claimed the bills didn't have the votes.
She said the bills didn't have the votes. Reading on.
Republican Assemblyman Bill Esali attempted to force a vote on one of the measures. This sent Democrats scrambling to figure out how to prevent a floor vote.
Mm-hmm.
The assembly then placed the bill on its inactive file, effectively killing the proposal without Bradford's permission.
So they killed the bill. Now, notice who it said was doing this. It was the Democrats. The Democrats. Now, I'm not political at all, y'all. I'm casting my vote for Christ as I do every 4 years. I'm waiting on the Messiah. I'm waiting on true salvation. All right? So, but what I'm trying to bring out is that they're the same people. Democrat, it don't even matter. They're still our enemies. They ain't our friends. Read them.
What we saw was a complete betrayal by the California Legislative Black Caucus against their own constituents.
Against their own, what she meant to say was against their own people. Read them.
Moore told KCRA3 in an interview on Tuesday. They chose to prioritize their own ego and their own self-interest over the people they claim to serve.
But this has been our history, and I'm definitely going to go into that. We're always concerned about self. So much so that we would just disregard the sufferings of our people and only be concerned with us and our family and our household. That's been our problem, man. The crabs in the bucket syndrome. You know.
She noted the bill to establish this, which would be known as the California American Freedmen Affairs Agency, was meant to be the foundation of the state's reparations efforts moving forward. She noted in other reparations efforts across the country.
Now, this is why I say this sister is smart. She noted in other reparations efforts across the country, read.
And internationally,
globally, read.
Infrastructure was first put in place to set up to provide the restitution, material benefits, policies, and programs.
Now, watch this. It's ironic because I had a great conversation on Sunday with a cousin of mine that I haven't spoke to in quite some time, man. And we had a very engaging, enlightening, interesting conversation. What happened? On reparations. And one of the things I was saying was that we would have to have infrastructure. If you're not familiar with what infrastructure is, man, infrastructure is things like, as a matter of fact, I got to get this. Hold on for a second, y'all. But we got on time. Yeah, I know. Wow, really? That's what we're doing, huh? See if you can pull it up on yours. Yeah. So we're going to look up the definition of infrastructure, y'all. Yes, ma'am, please.
Infrastructure. The system of public works of a country, state.
It says the system of public works. You know, public works like clinics, hospitals, banks, schools, things of that nature. Read.
The system of public works of a country.
Of a country. Read.
State.
A state. Uh-huh.
Or a region.
So what this sister was trying to establish, what the hell is going on with the internet right now? Okay, there it is. What this sister was trying to establish was, she's trying to establish a black state. She's trying to establish us as a country, as a people. So going back to the article. Hold on, let me see. Where you at? Yeah, go ahead.
Lawmakers did send Governor Gavin Newsom SC-1050 a reparation task force recommendation that would provide a process for those who had their land unfairly taken through eminent domain.
So this was included in the bill. Land. Listen to what these brothers and sisters are putting together. Infrastructure and land. That's building a nation. That's nation building, one-on-one, y'all. I hope y'all understand this. And this is what our red counterparts, who we loosely refer to as white, this is what they don't want, man. Because if we're self-sufficient, then why would we need them? Why would we need them? And we already know we built this country and we can do things 10 times better than them. So if we got our own infrastructure, we will become their competition. And they cannot have that. They eliminate all competition. They've shown us that in the treaties that they made with our so-called Native American brothers and sisters. All the treaties that they broke and how they killed, what was it, in the billions, 66 billion, I believe, during the age of conquest, the conquistadors, Murder Incorporated, Columbus and his peoples, his boys. We know.
The land restitution is supposed to go through that agency that the CLBC members just killed, she said.
They just killed the bill. It was part of the reparations bill, Reed.
Moore was at the Capitol with several other advocates for reparations who protested the decision by the caucus.
Mm-hmm.
I was really trying to plead, trying to use logic and reason to get through to these Black caucus members to do the right thing, Moore said. They were just completely disrespectful to their constituents. Moore mentioned a video that went viral showing Assemblyman Reggie Jones Sawyer taunting the demonstrators who waited outside of the assembly chamber. She said assembly members Chris Holden, Mike Gibson, and Akila Weber walked away from those who were there urging them to bring the bills up for vote.
Walked away from them. Ignored them. Read.
Akila is Secretary of State Shirley Weber's daughter.
This is the chick we read about at the beginning of this Black part of the Black caucus. Read.
Wilson was expected to headline a reparations-related rally at the state capitol on Tuesday, but canceled.
So she was going to have a rally, but she canceled it, Reed.
Her spokesman told KCRA she did not attend because she did not want to detract from the rally as emotions were still high from Saturday and because of safety concerns after she was doxxed online.
So the people were coming for her online, Reed.
When asked if Democratic legislative leadership should have been more involved, think assembly leadership, namely Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas, should have intervened. Demonstrators, supporters, and advocates emailed the speaker's office, tagged his social media, and asked him to override the Black caucus with functionality and do right by the people of California, Moore said. In effect, he sided with the Black caucus.
Agreed.
When asked about the proposals on Saturday night, Rivas referred reporters to the Black caucus.
Go ask them. I'm passing the buck. Agreed.
We knew this was a tough year for our budget, Rivas said. Everything we did was underpinned by our budget. A lot of good bills didn't make it through.
Budget, right? It's not in the budget. It's not in the budget to give Black and brown people what they rightly deserve. It's not in the budget, you know?
The legislator and governor agreed to set aside $12 million in this year's state budget for reparations-related effort. It's not clear how exactly the money will be used.
No, $12 million, they're not even scratching the surface of what they owe. In terms of money. Reed?
Moore said moving forward, she and advocates will follow that money and try to hold the caucus accountable.
Good luck with that, sis. All right, let's get Ecclesiastes chapter 6. We'll just go to verse 7.
Okay. Ecclesiasticus chapter 6, verse 7. Be in peace.
Ecclesiasticus? Yeah. 6 and 7.
Oh, reading 6, sorry. 6 and 7. If thou wouldest get a friend.
Now, listen to what it's saying, y'all. If you get a friend, you want to call somebody a friend. Because a friend is somebody that got your back, man. A friend is somebody that's going to be there when the chips are down. So if you're going to call somebody your friend, what does the Bible say? Read.
Prove him first.
It do what?
Prove him first.
You better prove whether or not he's a true friend. You better make sure that you can count on him. And this is what our people don't do, man. We think everybody's our damn friend, man. It's crazy. And when you start talking to our people and we, you know, tell our people, hey, man, you God's chosen people. You're an Israelite. We can prove it. We can show it to you out of the Bible. We show them Deuteronomy 28. We show them all the color scriptures, what we refer to as color scriptures. We show them Christ is black, the Jews is black. We show them this. We even tell them who Christ came for. We break down the John 3:16, which ain't that hard. Just read the verse before it. Start of St. John 3:14 and read down to 16. Then you get it in context. But we break these things down, man. And we tell them that salvation is only, we show them, salvation is only God's chosen people, the Israelites, so-called blacks and Hispanics, as well as our rest of our brothers and sisters that are scattered globally. We'll show them this. And the first thing they ask is, what about white people? It's crazy, man. It never fails. It's like damn clockwork. It should be on a recording. What about white people? They don't ask about no other people. They don't ask about the Arabs. They don't ask about Chinese people. They don't ask about the East Indians. They always ask about good old whitey. What about white people? I guess they got the Uncle Ruckus syndrome. Like, if the white man ain't going to heaven, I don't want to go. who I'm going to work for? Who I'm going to let tap me on the head and use me as a footstool and discriminate and keep me oppressed? If he ain't keeping me oppressed in heaven, I don't want to go. This is the mentality of our people, man. We're so quick to call them our friends when it's been shown through their history they're not our friends, y'all. Read the scripture again. Mm-hmm.
If thou wouldest get a friend, prove him first.
What does it say to do to a friend?
Prove him first.
Prove him. Let me see where your heart's at, where your mind's at. And going back to this black caucus and these brothers that are on the reparations task force, y'all need to be proving each other, man, to see where everybody's heart really is, man. Are they really down? Read.
And be not hasty to credit him.
Be not what?
Hasty to credit him.
Because this is what we do, man. We give people too much credit and just assume because they black, they down with us. And the saying that just keeps coming up. This like on repetitive rewind right now. All skin folk ain't kin folk, y'all. Read.
For some man is a friend for his own occasion.
What verse is that?
8.
What does it say?
For some man is a friend for his own occasion.
Because you got some people that call you their friend for their own benefit. Like... the governor of California. But I bet when he was trying to get reelected, who did he go to try to get those votes? Right. To the black community, to the black caucus, to the black folks, who's fighting for reparations. Try to whip those votes up so he can get in office. He only a friend when he needs you. But this is how our enemies operate. Because they're doing the same damn thing with the presidential election, the indirect election, which is decided, by the way, by the Electoral College. They want you to go out and vote, so what do? They got Meg Thee Stallion twerking, hoes for Harris, twerking at a concert. They got, what's the rap nigga name from the group, the Migos. He at the thing, rapping for Harris. They got all these black people. Like she's going on, like she's been on the Chitlin circuit. She hitting all the black events up to get the black vote. Because she needs y'all. Where was she at last year or the year before? What legislative things has she done for black and brown people? Send them to me, y'all. If maybe I'm ignorant on the topic, please send them to me. Besides taking Nina Simone's family inheritance and their what they call it, their estate, taking it from them. Show me. Maybe I'm ignorant. And she, was she the governor of California? She's out there locking niggas up? Then all of a sudden she black. But when she became the governor of California, I remember watching the interview she did, and the lady she that was interviewing her was East Indian. She said, congratulations on becoming the first Indian to become governor of California. And she was all proud and clapping about it, like, thank you, thank you. But now it's because she's black. That's one thing I agree with Trump on. Trump said, well, I didn't know she was black. I didn't know she was black. Read the scripture again.
Some man is a friend for his own occasion.
For the own occasion, man. And we don't see this. Read.
And will not abide in the day of thy trouble.
Well, let us need something. They ain't nowhere to be found like Newsom. The governor of California, when we need him to do something, he ain't nowhere. Nope, we can't do that. Mm-mm. No, we can't let you niggas have no infrastructure. Mm-mm, that's too much power for you niggas. Read.
And there is a friend who, being turned to enmity and strife, will discover thy reproach.
So it used to be your friend, but then y'all had a falling out. So now you got some enmity and some strife going on. And you know what happens? This so-called friend starts blackmailing you with the stuff that you used to do in college, how you a dude, but you was caught with a pump. You was smoking dope. You was cheating on your wife. This is what they do in politics, man. Y'all get the opportunity. They still got it on Netflix. Great series, except for the last season. Watch a series called House of Cards. Love the series, man. Phenomenal series. It shows you all the little dirty stuff that goes on in politics. All the little blackmailing, how to be setting people up, all of it. This is what it's talking about right here. Read the scripture again.
Verse 10. And again, some friend is a companion. I'm sorry, number 9.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a friend who, being turned to enmity and strife, will discover thy reproach.
Reproach means shame. They will discover the things that you ashamed of that you don't want nobody to know. And they'll put it on blast to get you to do what they want you to do. When you don't want to play ball, they ain't your friend no more. That ain't gonna blackmail you, force you into doing something you normally wouldn't do. You guys, why these sisters and brothers was walking right past these protesters, ignoring them when they used to be down, but they ain't down no more. What did they threaten them with, or what did they offer them? Because you know we'll sell our mama out for a damn buck. Read.
Again, some friend is a companion at the table.
When it's time to break things up and to eat, when it's time to game, that's what we're talking about. When at the table, I'm going to be your friend, man, when it's time for a come up, when it's time to get something. When it's time to eat, man, I'm eating. Read.
And will not continue in the day of thy affliction.
But lest you fall off, though. They ain't your friend no more. Lest you lose your crop. Read.
But in thy prosperity.
But when you come up, when you got something that's valuable to them, they're all in your face now. Read.
He will be as thyself.
Man, you know I'm down with you. I'm just like you. What are you talking about? This is how white folks be. I got a black friend. My best friend is black. I got a black girlfriend. I was watching the podcast interview, Donnell Rollins, with Dr. Umar. And he had, Donnell had this Edomite in the background trying to ask Dr. Umar all these loaded questions. He was ripping them up, too. But he said, man, you want me to call my black girlfriend? That was his whole little thing. That was his status symbol because he had a black girlfriend. Dr. Umar was like, nah, I don't want to talk to her. She's suffering from a little bit of self-hatred, and you suffering from slave mentality. That was funny, man. Yeah, he did get about the snow bunnies. Read it again.
But in thy prosperity, he will be as thyself.
Man, I'm down with you. Read.
And will be bold over thy servant.
And he will start taking ownership over what you got. Read on.
If thou be brought low.
But if you fall on hard times, read.
He will be against thee.
Yeah. He going to be what?
Against thee.
No, for you.
Against thee.
Read.
And will hide himself from thy face.
Yeah, like they hid and they wasn't going to vote on this cause. They hid their face from this cause. Read.
Separate thyself from thine enemies.
Now, all the stuff is just, all the characteristics he just gave was the characteristics of an enemy, not a friend. And this is why I said, in conclusion, separate thyself from thy enemy. These people are not your friends. Read.
And take heed of thy friends.
Take heed of your friends. Me, check your friends out. Are they really friends? Can you really count on them? Check their track record. What's their highlight friend reel looking like? Were they there? But we're always so hasty to credit these people, our enemies, as being our friends. And they've never been there for black people, black and brown people. Give me Psalms 62 and 10. Read.
Psalms chapter 62, verse 10. Trust not in oppression.
Oppression. Trust not in oppression. But you got our people running to the damn polling station every 4 years to vote for who? Our oppressor. How the hell you think your oppressor going to change things and make things better for you? And they ain't did it since we started voting. Huh? How you think? Then I'm so sick of hearing I talk about, well, I'm voting for the lesser of two evils. Okay, but the point is, it's evil. You still voting for evil. How can you expect your oppressor to deal with you fairly? And they never have. Isn't that the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. Right? Y'all just did this 4 years ago, y'all voted. What changed? Nothing. 4 years before that, when Obama was in there, oh, we got a black president. He do nothing for black people, black and brown people. He gave y'all same-sex marriages and what else? Obamacare. That's all he gave y'all. And, oh, he did the cash for clunkers thing, I think, too. And they did all those service jobs. But we already were servants here in Babylon the Great. Read it again.
trust not in oppression.
It says don't trust in your oppressor, because that's who you're going to vote for. But our people are hook, line, and sinker, got all their stake in whatever candidate that they pick, whether it's Trump or whether it's damn Kamala. I heard somebody call her Chameleon Harris. That's funny. I'm Indian when you need me to be, but I'll be black when you need me to be too. Trust not in oppression. Read.
And become not vain in robbery.
Read.
If
I'm sorry. It says become not vain in robbery. Give me Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 7. Trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery. Let's see what the robbery is. No, Ecclesiastes 7 and 7. Sorry.
Ecclesiastes 7 and 7.
Read.
Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad.
What does it say?
Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad.
Oppression makes you mad. So your oppressor should make you mad. But you're going to vote for him. Read.
And a gift destroyeth the heart.
A what?
A gift destroyeth the heart.
A gift destroys the heart. This is the robbery. Because they give our people these gifts, and our people just forget everything. Like, ain't nothing happened, man. Everything is everything. You just give our people a check. We'll shut up. We'll fall in line. Oh, what you want me to do? I'll vote for you. Give me a check. Well, you got a lot of niggas that they're going back to the poll to vote for Trump because Trump gave them a stimulus package during COVID. Gave them $1,200. The scripture says a gift destroys the heart. Going back to Psalm 62, read again from the top.
Psalm chapter 62, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery.
You become vain or worthless in them giving you money, paying for your integrity, which you don't have. That's the robbery. Read.
If riches increase, set not your heart upon them.
If you get some money, if you get some wealth, they ain't where your mind's supposed to be at. How your mind just on your money? What's going on with your family? And your whole nation is suffering. Your people is suffering. This is why we ain't going to never get no reparations, y'all. Not from our oppressor. No way. Give me 2 Maccabees chapter 4. I'm going to show y'all. This has been in our DNA for a long time. Us selling our people out, only being concerned with ourselves. This has been in our DNA. 2 Maccabees chapter 4. I want you to start at verse 7. Mm-hmm. Read.
2 Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
But after the death of Seleucus, when Antiochus called Epiphanes, took the kingdom, Jason, the brother of Onias, labored underhand to be high priest.
So after the death of Antiochus or Antiochus, however you want to say his name. I believe this was Antiochus the Third. His son Epiphanes was the fourth. It says he took the kingdom. Jason, an Israelite brother, it says, the brother of Ananias, labored underhanded to be high priest. Reading on.
Promising unto the king by intercession 300 talents of silver. And of another revenue, 80 talents.
So he wanted to be high priest of the Israelites so bad that he was willing to pay for it. Read.
Besides this, he promised to assign 150 more.
And he's going to give him 150 more. challenge. Read.
He might have license to set him up a place for exercise.
It's called a gym, which comes from the Greek word gymnos, which means to work out naked. Read.
And for the training up of youth, I'm sorry, licenses as a place of exercise, and for the training up of youth.
The training up of the who?
Of youth.
The training of the youngsters. Read.
And the fashion of the heathen.
The fashion of the heathen. Now, the heathen is talking about this part, and the word heathen, meaning Gentiles or nation, were the Greeks. So Jason was training up our youth, our children, to be like the heathen. Now remember, in Proverbs it says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they get old, they should not depart from it. So he's trying to basically whitewash a whole generation of Israelites. Read.
And to write them of Jerusalem by the name of Antiochian.
By the name of Antiochian, after the name of Antiochus Epiphany. So basically becoming them, becoming our enemy. Y'all see this. No different than now. We run around calling ourselves American. No different than now. Niggas go to school and they pledge what? Greek. I want to be Greek. This is where it comes from. But you see how this, I ain't even call him a brother. He's a nigga. Was willing to sell our people out for some, not even money. He wouldn't even get paid for it. Read on.
Which when the king had granted that he had gotten into his hand the rule, forthwith brought his own nation to the Greekish fashion.
So he brought us, the Israelites, to the fashion of the Greeks. Had us walking around in damn togas, walking around half naked, working out in the gym naked, doing what the Greeks was doing. Read.
And the royal privileges granted of special favor to the Jews by the means of John, the father of Eupolitus, who went ambassador to Rome for amenity and aid.
Right. And this is talking about when it was Judas Maccabee that sent an ambassador to Rome and asked the Romans to help them out with the Greeks, because they knew that the Romans had control over the Greeks during this time. And what they did was they gave us space to operate. By Jason going and doing what he did, he's basically forfeiting that agreement that we made with the Romans. Read.
And aid. He took away and putting down the government which were according to the law. He brought up new customs against the law.
And he brought up these new customs that was of the Greeks against our heritage and what we knew, which was the Most High's law, statutes, and commandments. Read.
For he built gladly a place of exercise under the tower itself and brought the chief young men under his subjection and made them wear a hat.
So he built a gym. And he got these young brothers in there working out. Then he says he made them wear a hat. Read. No, I'm sorry. Made them wear a hat. Now, this hat that it's talking about, this goes back to Greek mythology. The god named Hermes. And this hat, y'all ever watch the old Flash? If you haven't, go back and watch it, whether it be cartoon or a motion picture. But he would have this hat on, and it had wings on the side of the hat. This was the hat of, like I said, the god Hermes. You know, the fashion designers that he got each to this day, right? So this was the hat that he made them wear. And this same hat transfers over to the Dagon hat that the Catholics wear to this day, the hat that the small hats wear to this day. Same hat, same deity. Read.
Now, such was the height of Greek fashion and increase of heathenish manners through the exceeding profaneness of Jason.
It says Jason was profane exceedingly. Read.
That ungodly wretch and no high priest.
No high priest. Read.
That the priest had no courage to serve anymore.
Now, because of his jacked up example and his wickedness, him selling us out, then look at the example that he set amongst our nation to where other priests didn't want to serve. Because he gave that office a bad reputation or a bad look. Read.
That the priest had no courage to serve any more at the altar, but despising the temple.
And they hated, started hating the temple of the Most High. Read.
And neglecting the sacrifices.
Read.
Hastened to be partakers of the unlawful allowance in the place of exercise.
Wow.
After the game of dice discussed.
The game of discus, the game of disc, which they play still to this day in the Olympics. Read.
Called them forth.
Read.
Not setting by the honors of their fathers.
We have left the honors and the custom of our forefathers. Read.
But liking the glory of the Grecians best of all.
We like the what?
Liking the glory of the Grecians best of all.
We like the way that the Greeks did things and fell right into it. Read.
By reason whereof poor calamity came upon them.
And because we started doing this, the nation fell into sore calamities because the Most High told us we should have no other God before him. And the nation, they were heavy into idolatry. They were pagan. Read. They still are. Hell. Read.
For they had them to be their enemies and avengers, whose custom they followed so earnestly.
Wow. It says that the Greeks were our enemies. It says, and our avengers. who were they avenging us from? In their mind, it was the Most High.
And unto whom they desired to be light in all things.
All things. No different than now, man. That's why you had this so-called Congressional Black Caucus sell these people out of California for reparations. Read.
For it is not a light thing to do wickedly against the laws of the Most High.
Read.
But the time following shall declare these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's
all I want. So let's jump over. Give me that. Still showing that this has been in our DNA, man, to be sellout niggas and to sell our nation out and try to be like the other nations. We're going to go to the Bible Atlas, page 187. Is it 187? No, it's more actually 185. Hold on. Yes, let's skip. Nope, let's get 187. Read this right here. This is John Hickens.
Holman Bible Atlas. John Hartinus. Any ulcers? The sixth death in 129 BC left John Hyrcanus in a position to extend his ruler further.
Now, for those who don't know who John Hyrcanus was, John Hyrcanus was the son of Cimon. All right, part of the was known as the Hasmonean dynasty, part of the Maccabees, and he took up the leadership role after his son, after his father, and his brother were murdered. They were invited to dinner, and they were murked by the Greeks. So he stepped in to be the Israelite ruler, and he did damage, y'all. He conquered back a lot of territories that we had lost from during the time of David. He got those territories back, but he made a couple errors, which we're about to read about. Read.
In that year, John attacked Medeba east of the Dead Sea, and added the surrounding territory. A year later, he led a campaign into Samaria, eventually destroying the Samaritan temple
mm-hmm.
on Mount Gerizim.
Mm-hmm.
John conquered Idumea.
So he conquered Idumea. This is where the Edomites were. This was their territory, so-called white people. He conquered them, read.
in 125 BC, seeing the Idumeans to submit to Jewish religion.
So he force converted the Edomites, so-called white people. This is why we got the small hats today. He force converted them, made them do and believe and do all our customs and keep the law, and this is how they know the Bible and all of that. This is one of the errors I said that he made. Read.
Submit to Jewish religion or leave. A second campaign northward against the cities of Samaria and Sychopolis brought more of Samaria and the Esdraelon Valley under Jewish control. The 30-year rule of John Hyrcanus, 135 to 105/4 BC, lifted the political and economic fortunes of the Jews.
So see, he brought us up politically, economically, read.
But it revealed some curious features.
Now, listen to this, read.
The Hasmonean dynasty took on the characteristics of a Hellenistic monarchy.
We took on the characteristics of the Hellenistic monarchy, meaning the Greeks. We became Hellenized. It's so ironic because this is what the Maccabees was fighting against. And then you have Simon's son go and do willingly what we were fighting against. It makes no damn sense. But this is how bad we want to be like the nations. Still to this day. I told you, it's in my DNA. Read. Unfortunately. Read.
John employed foreign mercenaries in his army.
So foreign mercenary mean the other nations joined the Israelite army. Read.
He changed the names of his children.
He changed the name of his kids. Read.
From Hebrew into Greek.
Come on, man. Read.
Although he avoided the title king, his court gradually assumed the trappings of Greek culture.
Read.
Religion became a tool of conquest with John and his successors, as conquered people were forcibly converted to Judaism.
So he didn't just force convert the Edomites. He force converted all nations to our way of life. Read.
The majority of Jews supported John, but such actions stirred grave concern among Orthodox groups.
All right, that's all I want from that. Let's get Caesar and Christ, page 546. Yeah, read. Let me see. Yeah, you can start here at page 545.
From Caesar and Christ by Will Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Page 545.
Read.
The dispersion. The flight or enslavement of a million Jews so accelerated their spread through the Mediterranean.
Now, of a million Jews, it said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me help y'all out to get the image of white people out y'all head. And this book actually corresponds with what we're reading. It validates Caesar and Christ. So this is from Babylon and Timbuktu. And we're going to read page 90. Because remember, this book said a million Jews, right? Read it again.
The flight or enslavement of a million Jews.
A million Jews. Y'all see that, right? Now let's go here. It's actually page 84. Read the top paragraph. Mm-hmm, right here.
From Babylon to Timbuktu. In the year 65 BC, the Roman armies under General Pompey captured Jerusalem. In 70 AD, General Vespasian and his son, Titus, put an end to the Jewish state.
Three.
With great slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
During the period of the military governors of Palestine, many outrages and atrocities were committed against the residue of the people. During the period from Pompey to Julius, It has been estimated that over 1 million Jews...
1 million Jews, read.
...fled into Africa, fleeing from Roman persecution and slavery.
Read.
The slave markets were full of black Jewish slaves.
The slave markets were full of who?
Black Jewish slaves.
So these 1 million Jews that left Palestine or left Jerusalem were black. The true Jew is a man of color. I just wanted y'all to get them pictures of them white boys out of our head. Now going back to Caesar and Christ.
The flight or enslavement of a million Jews.
Which we just read about in Babylon Timbuktu. Read.
So accelerated their spread through the Mediterranean that their scholars came to date the diaspora from the destruction of Herod's temple.
The diaspora from the destruction of Herod's temple. So this is talking about 70 A.D., the destruction of the second temple. Also the destruction, as a matter of fact, Herod built that temple, by the way. Also the destruction of a place called Masada, which Herod also built, but it was an Israelite stronghold. We held up in it. But that was brought to a destruction in 70 A.D. This is what it's talking about. The same thing we just read from Babylon to Timbuktu, but read now.
We have seen that this dispersion had begun 6 centuries before in the Babylonian captivity.
So it's talking about us Israelites being dispersed, like it told us in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64. Y'all can see that. Read.
And had been renewed in the settling of Alexandria.
And we went down to Alexander, Egypt. Read.
Fertility was commanded and infanticide sternly forbidden by Jewish piety and law.
Hold on, let me get to the point. I don't want to read all that. Read this paragraph at the bottom. This part I want to get to, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because we were talking about our people selling our people out, right? Now watch this.
Page 546. After the fall of Jerusalem, Josephus sailed to Rome with Titus and accompanied the conqueror of his people in a triumphal procession.
He did what?
Accompanied the conqueror of his people.
Josephus, Flavius Josephus, which is our most, unfortunately, prized historian, or at least the brother left us in history. I don't want to say brother, the nigga. He sold us out. Titus and Vespasian used him to get details on how to bring the Masada down, y'all. This is why I talk. This is the aftermath of it. So he came back. He was with the Romans in a procession, celebrating their victory over his own nation. He was with them. Like I said, this has been in our DNA. Like them niggas in California, nothing new. Those spirits are back. Read.
After the fall of Jerusalem, Josephus sailed to Rome with Titus.
Mm-hmm.
And accompanied the conqueror of his people in a triumphal procession that exhibited captive Jews and Jewish spoil.
Wow. He's in a damn parade, basically, with us in chains alongside of him. But he's sitting in the float with the Romans. Read.
Vespasian gave him Roman citizenship,
mm-hmm.
a pension,
gave him Roman citizenship, a pension, some money. He gave him some money. Read.
An apartment in his palace.
Gave him a place to live. Read.
And profitable lands in Judea.
Gave him some land. I told you, man, we would sell our mama for a buck. Read.
In return, Josephus took Vespasian's family, named Flavius.
And this is why when you read on the Josephus, it's talking about Flavius Josephus. Works of Flavius Josephus. Why? He took that name from Titus and Vespasian. Read.
And wrote the Wars of the Jews.
And this is how he wrote the Wars of the Jews. Read on, though.
Circa 75. To defend the actions of Titus in Palestine, to exonerate his own defection.
He tried to make himself look good. So he wrote about it. Read.
And to discourage further revolt by showing forth the might of Rome.
And to discourage other Israelites from revolting against the Romans again. Read.
In his later years, circa 93, feeling more keenly his isolation.
Guilt. Read.
he wrote the Antiquities of the Jews.
He wrote the Antiquity of just the rest of the Josephus that we get. With great information in it. It's through his writings that we find out what Numbers, the 12th chapter, was talking about when Miriam and Aaron was talking about Moses and his Ethiopian woman. It's in Josephus. So it helps us fill in those blanks. Read.
To regain the goodwill of his people.
Read on.
By giving Gentiles a more favorable view of Jewish achievements, customs, and character. His narratives are clear and forceful, and his account of Herod the Great is as engaging as Plutarch, but his bias and his aims impair his objectivity.
So he was biased towards his own people. Is that it? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 1. Because this is why people are missing. This is why we ain't going to never get no damn reparations. And even if we did, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. Come on, y'all. We're going out of time.
Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garment, O Jerusalem.
Talking about us, the Israelites. So Zion was a mountain, actually a hill that was in our land. Read.
O Jerusalem, the holy city,
mm-hmm.
for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean.
The other nations, read.
Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down.
Read.
O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck.
Come out of captivity, read.
O captive daughter of Zion, for thus saith the Lord.
Listen to this, the part I want to get to, read.
Ye have sold yourself for naught.
Nigga, you done sold out for no reason. California Black Caucus, you done sold out for no reason. You done sold your people out for no reason. For us trying to go get some damn reparations, it'll be for no reason. Why? Read.
And ye shall be redeemed without money.
The word redeemed means to save. We're going to be saved without money. Running around talking about we want reparations. Don't y'all understand when we say we want reparations, we're discounting Christ. We're saying we don't need Christ. We don't need the Messiah. That's what we're saying because the reparations is the end all be all. Get it?
I'm not 30.
Give me Ezekiel chapter 20, so verse 33. So when we do get this salvation, this is the aftermath of it.
2036.
Mm-hmm.
As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out.
Most I'm going to be mad. He's going to be pissed off. Read.
Will I rule over you?
He said he's going to rule over us. He's going to be angry. We don't know why. Because, like it's always been, it's been some damn infiltrators, some sellout niggas, always. From rebellious niggas, always. Read.
And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered with a mighty hand.
The Israelites have been scattered through all nations. Read.
And with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out.
Read.
And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people.
And after that, we're going through the wilderness. Why? Read.
And there will I plead with you face to face.
I'm going to reason with you niggas, face to face. So you ain't got to hear Israelite brothers on the corner arguing with them no more. Now you'll be arguing with the Most High. Read.
Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you.
Read.
Saith the Lord God.
Read.
And I will cause you to pass under the rod.
I'm going to cause you to be corrected. That's what the rod is. You're going to get checked. You're going to get chastened. This is what our people don't like, being checked. Read.
And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant.
I'm going to bring you to my covenant, which is the law. Read.
And I will purge out from among you the rebels.
No, I'm going to let them niggas hang out and continue to infiltrate. What does it say?
And I will purge out from among you the rebels.
The rebels. the infiltrators. The Most High is getting rid of them, read.
And them that transgress against me.
And the niggas that don't have no self-control. They want to keep doing what they want to do. What verse you in?
Middle 38.
Read.
I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel.
They ain't going. Give me Zephaniah 13. Mm-hmm. You read.
And ye shall know that I am the Lord.
And you gonna know who he is. Zephaniah 13, start of verse 8. But was God to read it.
Zephaniah 13 and 8.
Read.
13 and
8? Yeah. Oh, my bad. 3 and 8.
Okay, my body broke. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8.
Hold on, make sure it's the right scripture. Read.
Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdom to pour upon them my indignation.
No, that ain't the right one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I'm sorry, Zechariah 13:8.
Oh, okay.
My bad, y'all.
Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8.
Read.
And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die.
Two parts of Israel. A lot of people are going to be cut off and die. Read.
But the third shall be left therein.
But the third going to be left, man. Read.
And I will bring the third part through the fire.
We just read about in Ezekiel. Read.
And I will refine them as silver is refined.
Mm-hmm.
And will try them as gold is tried.
Mm-hmm.
They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God.
We ain't going to be trying to vote in no damn elections. We're going to acknowledge whom we are, whom we belong to. I hope everybody see that. All right, so we're going to take a really, really quick break, and we'll come back with continuation of Galatians chapter 4. All right, y'all, we are back. I told you it was going to be quick, man. Just need a quick second to regroup, man. So the first half of the class you tuned into is just the news, current events. And I did go over. I'm sorry. I apologize, y'all. But we're going to continue in Galatians chapter 4. Before we do that, I didn't finish chapter 3. So let's go to chapter 3 of Galatians. And I want you to read verse 26. That's what we left off at.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people like try to pull this scripture, say everybody's a child of the Most High. That is not so. Give me St. John chapter 1, verse 11. And then we're going to jump. Matter of fact, we're going to read straight through. We're going to read verse 11 and verse 12.
John chapter 1, verse 11.
Read.
He came unto his own.
So he came to his own. This is Christ is talking about. He came to his own, meaning he came to other Israelites. Read.
And his own received him not.
Now, people like to use it, especially the church, they'll use this scripture to say, see, the Israelites rejected Christ. But you got to keep reading. Read.
But as many as him.
As many of who have received him. The Israelites. Read.
To them gave he power to become the sons of God.
To become the who?
Sons of God.
To become the sons of God. Y'all see this, right? So you have to be an Israelite and believe in Christ to be counted as a son of the Most High. Give me 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Read.
1 John chapter 3, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us,
mm-hmm.
that we should be called the sons of God.
We should be called the sons of God. Once again, you have to be an Israelite and believe in Christ, and that qualifies you to be a son of the Most High. Going back to Galatians chapter 3, and we were in verse 26. Read it again.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Right. And remember, we breaking it down by chapter, but this was one epistle. And I already covered who the Galatians were. The Galatians were Israelites. So when it takes to say that for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, it's talking about the Israelites that believed in Christ. Reading on.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither male nor female.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Some people might say, see, talks about it. They got you right there. No, they don't. Let's get some understanding on what he's saying in that verse. So let's go here. Read that verse again.
28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
All right. Some people might read this and say, see, it's including everybody, Greeks and Jew, right? Wrong. So let's go to the Jewish Encyclopedia and let's read this right here.
JewishEncyclopedia.com. Galatia by Joseph Jacob Max Salzlinger.
So this is talking about the province of Galatia, which was the province of Rome. This is who Paul wrote the letter to, these people. Read.
An inland district of Asia Minor, and after 25 BC, a province of the Roman Empire. There was a Jewish settlement there.
There was a what?
A Jewish settlement there.
No, they was all Greeks.
Jewish settlement there.
There were Jews in Galatia. I hope everybody sees this. Read.
Which may have been founded by Antiochus the Great, who sent many Jewish families to Asia Minor as colonists.
Now, this is the guy we read about earlier in the Apocrypha, Antiochus.
Proof of the existence of Jews in Galatia, according to many, is given by an edict of Augustus, which, according to Josephus, was published in Acrea.
And we got that before. Now, Acrea was a city that was in Galatia. Read.
The metropolis of Galatia.
See, I ain't lying. Read.
But the reading of the word Acrea is doubtful. A better proof may be had from some inscriptions found in Galatia.
Now, let me break this down, too. When it says Acrea,
is also known as Ankara.
Okay.
It's the capital of Turkey. So this is actually in Turkey that we're talking about. What do you say?
Ankara.
Mm-hmm. Read.
A better proof may be had from some inscriptions found in Galatia relating to Jews. CIG number 4129, Bulletin de Correspondence, Hellenique, 1883, Comp, REJ, 1077, Akiva, who is said to have been a great traveler, speaks of Galatia, which is generally identified with Galatia. A teacher named Menahem is said to have come from Galatia, or Galatia.
Skip over that. Read this.
Okay. The chief proof, however, of the existence of Jews in Galatia is the fact that St. Paul sent thither a general epistle.
Read this part again. The proof.
The chief proof.
Read.
However, of the existence of Jews in Galatia is the fact that St. Paul sent thither a general epistle known as the Epistle to the Galatians. There is a... There is a strong disagreement among scholars as regards the parts of Galatia where these correspondents of St. Paul lived.
So that's all they bicker and go back and forth over is where exactly they lived at. But they don't dispute that these Galatians were Israelites. Read.
The older opinion was that they were to be found in the northern cities of Galatia. But recent scholars, especially Professor Ramsey, hold that they lived in cities of South or New Galatia, which are actually mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles.
No doubt. That's it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. All right, so going back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28 again. Let's read it with some understanding now.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
So it was Israelites that grew up as Greek. They were part of the Greek custom. They were Hellenized. This is why it says Jew or Greek. He was trying to get them to see that they were the same. Even though y'all grew up amongst these Gentiles, amongst these other nations, y'all are still Israelites. Y'all are still Jews. You know?
And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
So if you believe in Christ, then you're the seed of Abraham and you're heirs to the promise. And the promise that Abraham was given by the Most High was rule of powership and authority over the world, man. And I already covered that. Now, we read it straight on in the Galatians chapter 4 now. Read.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant,
mm-hmm.
though he be lord of all,
mm-hmm.
but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father.
So it says that an heir, he differs nothing from a servant. Let you know that an heir is a servant. It's the same thing, but it says he be lord of all, but he's under tutors and governors. You have to be trained. All right? You have to be brought up the right way. Let's get an example of this, Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. Kazaki did an excellent class going over this. I forget the title of it. But you get a lot of brothers that be like, well, I don't have to be under a man. I don't need to be in no camp. You worshiping a man, yada, yada, yada. We didn't hear it at all. All right, where we at?
Exodus 33 and 11.
Read.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend.
So Moses spoke to Moses face to face, as he spoke to his friend. Read.
And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua,
his what?
his servant Joshua.
What do you say? Moses had a servant. He had somebody that studied under him. Because if you remember, when Moses died, who took over for him? Joshua. But who trained Joshua up? Moses did. Remember, Joshua actually went up with Moses when Moses got the Ten Commandments. When he got the first Ten Commandments, Joshua was with him. Because he was like, hey, man, it sounds like the people are mourning. And Moses was like, nah, man, it sounds like a party. He was with him.
And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle.
He was on Moses' hip, man. Now we get Numbers 11:28. He was Moses' understudy. Remember, we came here to get this tutors and government stuff, right? Moses was Joshua's tutor. He was his governor. To the time appointed where it was for Joshua to take over, take the lead. Oh, yeah. Numbers 11:28.
Yes,
read.
And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses forbid them.
Mm-hmm. So here we have an example of Joshua, the servant of Moses. Moses understudy once again. Now give me 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3. We probably don't go over to y'all.
Let that go.
Okay. Yeah.
2 Kings chapter 2 verse 3. Prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master?
Thy who?
Thy master.
Which was Elijah. Elisha was his understudy. They said, the Lord gonna take away your master. Read.
From thy head today. And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace.
He didn't say, that nigga ain't my master. What are you talking about? That nigga don't tell me what to do. He said, yeah, I know he's going to leave today. He said, but chill on that. He had no issues with them calling Elijah his master. Because once again, he was his understudy. This is Paul talking about being under tutors and governors until the time of point. Because after Elijah left, who do we read about after that? We read about Elisha. He took the helms. All right, give me Acts chapter 15, verse 2. Okay. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them.
So is Paul and Barnabas, they had a dispute between themselves, read.
They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question.
So they couldn't solve it amongst themselves, so they had to take it to a higher court, to a higher level of interrogation. They went to their elders. I hope everybody see this. This is what Paul's talking about, being under tutors and governors. We just can't be doing our own thing, not answering to nobody. 1 Timothy 1 and 2. Those got to read.
Timothy chapter 1, verse 2.
Read.
Unto Timothy, my own son.
this is a letter that was written because my Bible says the first epistle of Paul to the Apostle Timothy. So Paul wrote this. It says it in verse 1. But he called Timothy his what?
My son.
His son. But we read how it says that Timothy's father was they call him a Greek. So you know they ain't talking about Paul. Read.
Unto Timothy, my son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Yahweh Shai, Christ our Lord.
Right, but he called him his son because Timothy was a student, and he loved him after him like a son. That denotes tutelage, governorship. 1 Timothy 1:18.
Verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou be them mightest war a good warfare.
A good warfare. So he says the prophecies were before on thee. This is how we've always done things, y'all. You have to have tutors and governors. Going back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 again, please. Verse 2 it was.
Okay.
14?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But it's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father.
Of the Father. Read on verse 3.
Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world.
So let's get this part where it says when we were children. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. So when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world.
First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11.
Read.
When I was a child, I spake as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I understood as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I thought as a child.
Mm-hmm.
But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
So when we thought as a child, we operated as a child, then we was looked at like a child. And this is what Paul is talking about. When we were children, going back to Galatians 4 and 3, we're under bondage of the elements of the world. Because the child does everything based off their impulse. So when we stop doing things based off our impulse and start adhering to the Spirit, we're no longer children. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22 will prove it. Read.
Flee also youthful lust.
What does he say?
Flee also youthful lust.
What is a youthful lust? It's something you lust after when you was in your youth. We all can attest to that. It was something we just couldn't get enough of when we was in our youth. When we was young, man, when I was young, I used to do X, Y, Z. I don't do that no more, though. But he told us to do what about these youthful lusts? Read it again.
Flee also youthful lust.
Stop doing it. Run away from your youthful lust. Read.
But follow righteousness.
Follow what's right by the Most High. Said it?
Faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Right, but if I'm operating in my carnal flesh, my carnal state, my carnal mind, I'm essentially acting like a kid. I'm going back to that youthful lust. I'm thinking as a child again, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Going back to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 now.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law.
Right. Now let's get Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 1, and we're going to jump to verse 11. It talks about the Most High sent forth his son, which is Yahweh Shai, which the world calls Christ. It says that he was made of a woman, made under the law. Let's get all of that. Also, a whole lot in that verse. That's true what he was saying. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Read it.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
The book of a generation of Yahweh Shai, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
So this is Christ's genealogy. Now jump down the verse, because it says he was made of a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to come from a woman, or to get here like we all got here, that requires intercourse, y'all. And this is going into the so-called virgin birth or what have you. But this is knocking that down. We're reading the lineage of Christ. When it said he was born of a woman, Christ came from a woman and a man, because that's the only way a baby can get here. Now, jumping down to verse, verse 11, read. He was born under the law, right?
Verse 11. And Josiah begat Jochanan and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon.
By the time that the Israelites, Christ's lineage, because this is what it's talking about, it's the generation, the genealogy, or the generation of Jesus Christ, is verse 1. So it's talking about everything that Christ and his people went through. So we were carried away into Babylon. Why were we carried away into Babylon? Because we kept breaking the law, statutes, and commandments. Because remember in Galatians chapter 4, which we just read, was that verse 4, it says Christ was born of a woman, born under the law. Y'all see this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, was Christ part of the punishment going into captivity for breaking God's law, statutes, and commandments? Of course he was, because his nation was. So jump down to verse, matter of fact, read on in verse, no, jump to verse 17, it's just straight to the point.
So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations.
From Abraham, our forefather Abraham, to our forefather David, 14 generations, read.
And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon.
From David to the time that the southern kingdom got carried into Babylon, the southern kingdom being Judah, Benjamin, and half the tribe of Levi, which Christ was from the tribe of Judah. So it's talking about his lineage, his people, read.
14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations.
Now what captivity was going on during the time of Christ? The Roman captivity. I hope y'all see this. Paul dropped a lot of meat. So let's go back to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 again.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son.
Then the fullness of the time was when it was time for us to get, like Christ said, the knowledge of salvation, how to get saved out of the conditions that we were in. Read.
God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law.
To do what?
To redeem them that were under the law.
The word redeem means to save them that were under the law, read.
That we might receive the adoption of sons.
That we might be adopted back to the Most High by way of Christ as the Most High sons. Now, what is he talking about? Should have told y'all the whole Matthew. Go back to Matthew chapter 1, read verse 21. Because it says that he sent his son to redeem them that were under the law. Read this. Matthew 1:21.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 21.
Read.
And he shall bring forth. She shall bring forth a son.
That's his mother, read.
And thou shalt call his name Jesus.
Read.
For he shall save his people from their sins.
Or redeem his people from their sins. Like we just read it, Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law. And it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, he shall save his people from their sins. Now, give me Psalm chapter 147, verse 19 and 20. And somebody else, a lot of y'all, give me 1 John chapter 3, and verse 4. Yeah, matter of fact, give me that one first. Let's find out what sin is. This is what Christ came to redeem his people from, his people being the Israelites. So then the whole chapter 1, gives Christ's whole lineage and the history of his people. You get to verse 21 and say, okay, he's going to save them from that.
1 John chapter 3, verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law.
So Christ came to save us from breaking the law, to keep us from breaking the law. Now, give me Psalm chapter 147.
Psalm 147, verse 19. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation.
Talking about the Most High. So he gave the law, statutes, and commandments to the Israelites. And so he hath not dealt so, read.
And as for his judgments, they have not known them.
So he hadn't dealt so with any other nation, and the other nations didn't have the law, statutes, and commandments. Hope everybody is seeing this. It goes right along with Galatians 4 and 5. Give me Acts chapter 5, 9, verse 30.
Acts chapter 5, verse 30. Oh, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior.
To be a prince and a savior. Y'all see, this goes back again to Galatians. That redeeming, or that redemption, read.
To redeem them that were under the law.
Now read this again, finish reading in Acts, or read it again from the top.
Acts chapter 5 and 30. The God of our fathers raised up Yahushua, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath Yahweh exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance Israel and forgiveness of sin.
That's only to the Israelites. I hope everybody sees this. Now, give me Galatians 4 and 5 again. How's it done?
To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
That we might receive the what?
Adoption of sons.
Is that for everybody, though? It's not. It's only for the Israelites. Give me Ephesians chapter 1 and start at verse 1. And let me just read what you see.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus.
So you can see Psalms chapter 148, verse 12, to find out who the saints are. Verse 13 and 14, that's what it is. Y'all can see that. Read out.
And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us.
We have a predestination as Israelites. And listen to the terminology that Paul is using all throughout the letter. Us, we, are. Singular possessive pronouns. Read.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will.
This is what it's talking about in Galatians 4 and 5. Now let's get Romans chapter 8, let's start at verse 14.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
And it's still talking about the Israelites. Read.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption.
The spirit of what?
Adoption.
Uh-huh. Now, who adopted us back to the Most High? Christ. By way of his death, read.
Whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
No doubt. Romans chapter 9 and verse 3.
Romans chapter 9, verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh.
So according to the flesh, listen to the terminology he's using. And he says brethren, meaning kinfolk. Let me tell you that, my kinsmen. Read.
Who are Israelites.
Who is he talking about right now?
Israelites.
Read.
To whom pertaineth the adoption.
To whom pertaineth the adoption. What adoption? The same adoption is talking about in Galatians chapter 4. Read.
And the getting of the, I'm sorry, and the covenant.
And the glory.
I'm sorry, the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And the service of God and the promises.
Mm-hmm.
Whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh.
Concerning the what?
Concerning the flesh.
Concerning the flesh. It's talking about nationality, y'all. Kinship. Read.
Christ came.
Read.
Who is over all God, blessed forever. Amen.
True. Amen. All right. Let's go back to Galatians 4 now. And who's in verse 5?
To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Mm-hmm.
And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son.
Mm-hmm.
And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no God.
He says, when we didn't know Christ, we did service to them that are no gods. What is it talking about? Let's get Acts chapter 21, whole Galatians. Acts 21, 25. Read.
Acts chapter 21, verse 25. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded.
Yeah, it says, as touching the Gentiles which believe. Once again, it's talking about Israelites that group like Gentiles, not other nations, y'all. Read.
Concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things idols and from blood and from strangled and from fornication.
So, this is Paul and the apostles having a council about the Gentiles because they were going back and forth on whether or not they needed to be circumcised. He was like, man, look, don't put that on them. Right now, just tell them no idolatry, no blood, none strangled from animals, no fornication. And this is what he's talking about. Before we knew Christ, we were paying homage or praising other gods, other deities. We were into paganism like these brothers were. This is why Paul is bringing it to the council's attention. Hey, we'll worry about circumcision later. Right now, let's get them to stop being pagan. 1 Corinthians 10 and 19. And I told y'all to go back and read this whole chapter, Acts chapter 21. Mm-hmm.
What say I then, that the idol is anything,
mm-hmm.
or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything?
Uh-huh.
But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils.
Listen to what he's saying. The things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Once again, word Gentile meaning heathen or nations. This is what the nations were known for, idolatry. Y'all see this, right? And the Most High gave them over to idolatry. But he told the Israelites that we was going to serve the one true God. So if the Gentiles could make it, then why would Paul be going to these Gentiles who were idolaters and pagans? That wouldn't even make sense. Read.
And not to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils.
He called the Gentiles devils because they were into idolatry. Read.
Ye cannot drink.
And furthermore, he said don't have fellowship with them. So if he's telling these brothers not to fellowship with these Gentiles who are devils, then why the hell would he be going to try to teach Gentiles? That would make no sense at all. He would be contradicting himself. Read.
Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils.
Mm-hmm.
Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils.
You can't believe in the Most High, and then you want to worship and serve all these idols like the Gentiles. What verse is that? All right, let's get Acts chapter 17, verse 22.
Acts chapter 17, verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious.
He said, y'all are too superstitious. We're going to keep going, y'all. Read.
For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.
He says, you ignorantly worshiping the Most High, but I'm trying to show you who the Most High truly is. This is why he says, him I declare unto you. But y'all got a damn statue put up talking about to the unknown God. You see how people were heavy into paganism, as is today. Read.
God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things,
mm-hmm.
and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth,
mm-hmm.
and have determined the times before appointed in the bonds of their habitation.
Now, y'all don't even know what Paul is quoting. Give me Deuteronomy 32 and 8. Because some people might read this and say, and have made of one blood all nations of men. And just assume that, yeah, see, he's talking about everybody. No, it's not. Let's see what Paul is quoting. Deuteronomy 32 and 8.
When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance.
Divided. That don't mean bring together. Read on.
When he separated the sons of Adam.
Because, yeah, we all got the same bloodline going back to Adam after the flood. But it says that he separated the sons of Adam. I hope everybody see this. This is very important. He didn't want all people to be together. Y'all remember the Tower of Babel. See Genesis chapter 11. The Most High never intended for everybody to be together. When he separated the sons of Adam, meaning he took the sons of Adam and put them over here, and he let the other nations do their thing. So the group of people he chose to deal with. Read.
He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
According to the number of the children of Israel. So who are the original sons of Adam? It's the children of Israel, the ones he separated. I hope everybody see this. Now going back to Acts. Chapter 17, verse 26.
26. And have made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bonds of their habitation,
mm-hmm.
that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him to find him,
mm-hmm.
though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring.
It says we're the offspring of the Most High, man. And remember, Paul says, I'm declaring him to you. So he's schooling these Israelites on who the Most High is. Reading on.
For as much, then, as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device.
So remember what the Most High told us, not to make any graven images. But this is what we have been doing, scattered amongst these other nations. We started doing what they was doing. So Paul is declaring the Most High to our brothers and sisters that were in, deep into paganism. Read what he says in verse 30. Read.
And the times of his ignorance, God winked at.
He says the time that you didn't know about the Most High, you didn't know that you was a pagan, he winked at it. He gave you a pass because you didn't know no better. Read.
But now commanded all men everywhere to repent.
Stop being a pagan. Change. That's what the word repentance means, to change. Now get Acts chapter 19, verse 24.
For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen.
Now, when they say Diana, they ain't talking about this man's girlfriend. Diana was a deity of the Romans that they worshiped. I believe that her Greek name was, Michelle, help me out if you're on here. Diana is, yeah, we know she was Wonder Woman, but Aphrodite and the Starbucks lady, Ashtoreth. Yeah. So it's talking about her. So these men, they were craftsmen. They made these deities, these little statues of these gods. Read.
Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth.
Man, you know by this craft, this is how we get our money. So they were idol makers. Read.
Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all of Asia.
Read.
This Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people.
Turned away many people. Because Paul was teaching them that these idols were nothing. This idolatry that the Israelites was doing was nothing. That they needed to worship the true God, the Most High. Read.
Saying that they be no gods, which are made with hands.
Read on.
So that not only this, our craft is in danger.
So he said, man, Paul's messing with our paper. Read.
To be set at naught. But also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth.
So not just Asia was worshiping this deity, the whole world was, y'all. Y'all see this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who was in control of the world at this time? The Romans were. You know, verse what?
That was the end of
27. 28.
And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians.
You had Israelite brothers that didn't want to let go of their idolatry. Going back to Galatians chapter 4 and read verse 8 again.
How be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them, which by nature are no God.
That's all the scriptures we just got, bringing out the Israelites' idolatry. Verse 9.
But now, after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?
Give me St. John chapter 8, verse 34. Why do y'all give me Acts 14 and 11?
John.
8:34. Yeah.
John 8:34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin."
Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. This is what Paul's talking about. You going back into the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. And Christ said, if you do the sin, you're going to be the servant of sin. This is what Paul's talking about. Same thing. Same concept. Acts 14:11.
Acts 14:11. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men."
So you have these Israelites want to worship Paul and Barnabas. Said, man, the gods then came down to us. Read.
And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker.
These are Greek gods, Roman deities. Read.
Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gate, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you."
We're not gods, we're men. Read.
"That ye should turn from these vanities."
And we preaching to y'all that y'all got to turn away from this. Well, remember, in Galatians says that our people turning back to idolatry, trying to serve the Most High and be pagans.
"Unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are therein."
All right, let's get go back to Galatians 4,
mm-hmm.
verse 10.
"Ye observe days and months and times and years."
So now it's still talking about us with the idolatry. Then now it's getting to us with the soothsaying, the necromancing, the psychic readings and all. This is what it's talking about. He observed days, months, times, and years, astrology and all of that. Verse 11.
"I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain."
Mm-hmm. He said, "I'm afraid, man. I feel like I'm doing this for nothing." Because I keep trying to tell y'all about the Most High, about Christ, and y'all steady going back into idolatry, finding something better. But that you think is better anyway. No different than our people. Read.
"Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first.
Mm-hmm.
And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God,
mm-hmm.
even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me."
So Paul is talking about the infirmity that he had. Give me Acts chapter 9 and verse 11. We're going to read to 17. And we might close up with that.
Acts chapter 9, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
"And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight,
mm-hmm.
and inquire in the house of Judas
mm-hmm.
for one called Saul,
mm-hmm.
or of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and had seen in a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight."
That he might what?
Receive his sight.
So Paul had issues with his eyes. This is why he's talking about in verse, Galatians chapter 4, verse 15, if it was possible, you would have plucked out one of your all eyes and given it to me. Because he had troubles in his eyes. What verse are you on, young?
That was 11.
Key reading.
12. and had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight.
So Christ sent this cat, what's his name, Ananias, to go heal Paul's eyes. Read.
Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem.
He like, hold up, wait a minute. The same cat I heard about killing us, you want me to go to this dude? Read.
And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name.
And he got a hit out on us. Read.
But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me.
He's valuable, read.
To bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel.
Read.
For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And Ananias went his way and entered into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
He gave him, he sent him there to get his sight back. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7.
And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
the messenger of Satan to buffet me,
mm-hmm.
lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me.
So he continued to have troubles with his eyes, as we can see, to where he had to ask the Most High twice, three times, to take this away from him. But remember, he said, so, matter of fact, read it again from the top.
Seven. And lest I should be exalted above measure.
That part. And lest he should be exalted above measure, meaning, unless he get too big for his britches, he let his pride buck up. Because he said, knowledge puns it up, right? The Most High gave him this element to keep him honest so he wouldn't get the big head. I hope everybody see this. Read.
Through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
the messenger of Satan to buffet me,
mm-hmm.
lest I should be exalted above measure.
Mm-hmm.
For this thing I besought the Lord thrice,
mm-hmm.
that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Are you good? You got everything you need. Is that it?
No. For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
And Christ is using Paul as his spokesperson to say that when you think you're weak, you're really strong. That's what Christ is saying. My strength is made perfect in you when you at your most vulnerable, when you at your weakest, if you lean on me. I hope everybody see this. Was that all the verse? Read, finish it.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
No doubt. All right, so this is a good place to start. Let me get my pen and mark my spot. It's a good place to start. We're going to stop it right there, man. Got further than I thought we was going to get. And we'll come back next week, Lord willing, and continue breaking down Galatians chapter 4. We're going to read right on in the 5, y'all. We gonna, like I said, we're getting the whole epistle. I hope y'all got some edification, got some out of the class. I know I got a few text messages I couldn't get to. I'm sorry, brothers. I was trying to get her done, man. So the water for everybody tuning in. Thank you for everybody tuning in, everybody's support here at Bible Talk, man. And until next week, Lord willing, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Southern Pop.
Tuesday.
Every
Tuesday.
And with that, y'all, we're going to say shalom.